Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Matthew McConaughey's mother is at it again. Hello and welcome to Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid, the parenting podcast from the Irishman Abroad Podcast Network with me, Charlotte Regan.
And me, Tina Regan.
And Tina Regan's here. And she's the one that brought Matthew McConaughey's mammy to our attention.
Yeah. I'm obsessed
no
now.
Idea.
Well, I also love the way Matthew is such a forgiving person, obviously. Because, like, you know, they actually stopped talking for 8 years.
His mammy being a pain in the hoop.
Well, I don't know if he'd call his mom a pain in the hoop, but she was like leaking stories to the press and inviting the press into the home. And
is it leaking when it's literally a proud mother going, well, you're not going to believe what he's done now?
Well, it isn't is he? When he tells you something in confidence and you ring the newspaper and tell them what your son
I
did.
I doubt she rang the newspaper.
She did, Jar. Look it up.
No.
Yeah, they fell out for eight years.
So she rang up the Leinster Leader and would be like,
yeah,
I've got a great story about my son and I'd love you to report it. Even though he was like, man, I don't.
Yes.
Like, I've always maintained that that is the major contradiction with, among many contradictions with Irish mammies, is so rigid on so many things.
Yeah.
Except confidentiality.
Is she an Irish mummy? I don't know.
He's Irish.
I think she
McConaughey.
Is well, I don't know. I think she is an Irish mummy. I'm not sure. But like now she lives with them and like she's 96 years old.
Mm. So when was this happening? This was in at the peak.
At the peak of his
when
career.
When he was like,
so
I don't think a lot of listeners will remember it. In 1996, this man was
everywhere.
The heartthrob.
Yeah.
A Time to Kill was the movie that really blew the doors off for him. And still to this day, I look at that hair and I think, he's doing something right. I've been thrown so much McConaughey stuff for some reason.
Because I keep talking about him.
Yeah, he
and
keeps
her
hearing
are
Tina
listening.
Talk about in her sleep. Yeah. no response. She's like,
well, I also
I
love,
wish.
I just think Matthew McConaughey, if his voice wasn't so annoying, he actually gives out such good advice sometimes. Like,
you find that in voice annoying?
Oh my God, his voice is so
all
annoying.
All right.
I'm just like, stop it. But, you know, obviously his wife's a really nice person because somehow this relationship with his mom got mended. And I don't think that happens on its own. And his wife also is perfectly fine with that lady living with them. And I follow his wife on Instagram and she does a lot of stuff with his mom. That's really sweet. So I think that's amazing. But also his other life advice that I love is that Matthew McConaughey said you should sleep in the smallest double bed you can find. And that is the key to a happy marriage. And I actually really believe that.
I've spoken like a man who doesn't have a child trying to get into the bed.
Yeah.
As well. Although that would probably stop the child trying to get in as well because there's no room.
Yeah, true. But I think that's really good advice. I do.
Smallest bed possible, maximum snuggles possible.
Yeah, I do. I think all the way.
I wonder, does his wife agree with this?
Probably not.
She's like, he's so hot in the bed. Like, he's a very hot man in every sense.
She's a very hot wife.
Two videos that were sent to me about McConaughey was him at Oasis in Wembley having the ear burned off him by some lad standing next to him just talking in his ear. And you can see he's like, all right.
But
shut up, I'm trying to watch the concert. And the other one was about him deciding not to do rom-coms and
yeah, trying
keeping
to get taken
up in
serious.
The price. And eventually he did. He did that. Dallas Buyers Club was the movie that really changed
him. Oh, and he
his.
Lost all the weight. And that changed him completely as a person too. He never quite got back to his beautifulness. Am I allowed to say that?
But the
probably
mammy
not.
Thing. Just
I keep
to
saying
back,
that. I'm so old now. Am I allowed to say that?
Just to come back around to the mammy thing. Because, you know, this is a primary email that we get about the over the shoulder or doing things that you're like, you can't really control your parents, as we all know.
No,
you can't control
should,
what they do or say to
we
you.
We shouldn't. We have to respect
no, of
them.
Of course not. They're free to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
But McConaughey's ma was literally making his life really difficult by breaking these agreements where he had to be quiet about
and
these
I
things.
Watched the interviews with them presently, like they're, right. they're going around promoting maybe a book or something, and
it's his Poems and Prayers, Dina.
Oh, is that really?
His book of Poems and Prayers God. Coming out.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, no, stop it. You're so it's annoying, so sleazy. But she like laughs. Like they're able to laugh about it. That's amazing. Like they
he's
laugh about it.
The press into
yeah, he
his
said he had
bedroom.
People like Tom Cruise ringing him going, "Your mom's at it again." And he'd be like, "Oh my God, Ma, stop."
Matty. It's Tom.
Like, that's crazy.
Listen, have you got a minute there? Listen, your ma's at it again. Now, you're going to need to wind her in. That's actually Tom Cruise's real accent. And
that was the sound of me drinking. He's
acting his late, yeah.
Oh, my God, you're a stop. Stop.
How are you getting on now, Tom?
This is my life, by the way. I asked Charlotte to stop doing
Other
something
people are
and he
enjoying
never
these
stopped.
Accents.
There's
Just,
no way.
You don't.
Let us know, yeah. please.
How are you getting on now, Tom?
My God.
If Mahi here, I'm in the middle of
this
something.
This is very self-indulgent.
Now. Fine, what is it? It's your mother. She's after inviting the press into the bedroom again. My teenage bed, all my teenage stuff is all over the world.
I can't believe you're still going. You're actually putting me in a bad mood. I don't want to do the podcast anymore.
We've got amazing questions for you this week, including the rude teenager, the
yeah.
rudeness, the rudeness. What
I don't
can you do?
Think anything prepares you for teenagers.
Oh, I know. I know.
I honestly think every person who works in a secondary school is an angel. Mm. They need hugs.
Well, we also talk about movies you need to watch with your kids.
Yeah, well, if we're saying that, we need to remember to do it because we're always going, and then we're going to talk about this, and then we never bloody do it.
This new Cillian Murphy also, movie, Steve, on Netflix, lads, get it into you. Watch it. Yourselves first. I mean, it's not suitable for every teenager. There is certain topics and areas covered, but it certainly will teach a certain amount of appreciation to a kid above the age of 15. We also, Tina, what are the other questions we have on the bill
well,
this week?
There is a lovely single mom got in touch just wondering how she gets a behavior under control. And then there is, oh my God, I can't remember because my brain is mush now.
Yeah.
There's another question in there too.
The kid that cries all the time.
Oh, that's actually really worrying.
Kid that won't stop crying.
Won't stop crying. Yeah, that's terrible.
Are they a whinger or is there something else
going
on?
Is there something
on?
Actually wrong? Yeah.
How was your week, Tina? I asked Tina this, pointing out in this current stand-up that I'm creating the new tour. Gas Man is the brand new stand-up show that I'm writing at the moment.
Yes, me work to the bone.
And one of the aspects of it is me realising that Tina and I are never apart.
Mm.
This is one of the reasons that Tina's learning to drive so that she can get
that.
No, the
hell it's so embarrassing. Imagine that. I'm 43 and I can't drive.
Plenty of people have learned a lot later. They've learned a lot later.
I doubt it. But I'm getting there slowly.
But we're never apart. So when I ask, how was your week? I know how your week was.
But
I
genuinely don't. I can't remember. But I do know I was actually really sick. We went to the EU and I picked up, I must have picked up a bug on the plane.
Because
everyone was disgusting on that plane. Do you remember them?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
And my God, I've not been that sick in a long time. And I was saying to Gerla today, okay, I'm really like feeling sorry for myself here because Gerla didn't give me any pity. That I'm so tired. Even just walking to the door, I'm like, oh, I'm so
well,
tired.
this is the reality of parenting, isn't it? That when you get sick, you just have to plow on.
Like, yeah, the reality of
the
being a wife as well.
Yeah, I mean,
although I did take to the bed for the first time in my whole life. That's
off,
how sick
I
was.
I gave you half a day off.
That's how sick I was. I was like, I actually have to go to bed. And what did you do?
What did I do?
You rang me.
Oh, when you were having the lie down.
I said, I can't actually stay awake. I got to go have a lie down.
I didn't read that text.
No, I said that to your face.
Oh, I didn't listen.
I literally went up the first time in my whole life I've ever done it. That's how unwell
down.
I felt.
She hates naps.
And Charlotte was like, Tina, can you get back down here? We need to do this. And I was like, oh my God. I'm just like, I'm not feeling well. That happened in my life, guys.
I'll make it up to you, Tina. It's our anniversary this week. I hope you know it's a very important one. 16. That's 16. The male-focused one.
Charla keeps messing that this is the male-focused anniversary.
All the other anniversaries are for the lady and you spoil
it. It's kind of annoying because you've stolen my joke. Because I used to always feel like this is a very special anniversary and now you've stolen my joke. Because obviously it's not a special anniversary, but now Gerald is like, this is the male one.
Let's get down to these questions. If you have a question for Tina, she has, of course, 20 years of experience working with children with severe behavioral issues of all kinds and in early learning. It's honey, you are ruining our kid at gmail.com. Tina and Jar, just wondering if anyone else who listens to your podcast thinks they have the world's most unhappy child. Mine cries all the time. I've counted 7 times since she woke up this morning, and it's only 9 a.m. She's been like this since about 5 months. I'm so emotionally exhausted and feel like it's affecting our bond now, as I don't want to be around her. I feel like I'm walking on eggshells 24/7, and if I breathe in the wrong direction, she'll burst into tears. She's now 13 months old, and it's still the same. Plus, she's extremely clingy. Feel like I'm the only one in the world with a baby this difficult. And the length it's going on for. Can't even say it's just a phase, as it's basically been her whole life. I feel terrible even saying this, and that's why I love that I can email the show in confidence. Please help.
Yikes. Wow. Well, I mean, my spidey senses just feel like there's something else going on there. You know, like, that's not normal for a child to cry that much.
So they're not just an unhappy... You know, the way you'd hear a lot of kind of older generation parents saying, that's just who they are.
Yeah, no, that's not right. I mean, the poor baby would be exhausted from all that crying. It'd be hurting its throat and everything. Mm. I feel like, you know, the first protocol is always the doctor or the health nurse. You got to get them to take you seriously. I mean, it's really...
Have you seen this before?
I have seen kids who can't stop crying, and some of them, it's a really bad reflux issue. Some of them did eventually stop, and there was actually nothing wrong, and I couldn't believe that. Like, one particular kid, I'd never seen a kid cry like that in my life. They just always seemed to be crying, but by the time they were 3, they had stopped doing that. And I actually thought, I really did think, there's an additional need there, and there doesn't seem to be. So, but this feels like there's an additional need here.
She didn't mention if the kid has siblings. Would that play a part? That, like, the kid feels the need to cry for attention?
I mean, like, there's so many things, right? There's so many things. Like, maybe the kid has a little pain. You know, that could be it.
That they can't articulate.
She didn't say if when they comfort the baby, does the baby stop crying? They could be really hungry. Some kids are just really hungry, and the recommended intake for their food just isn't enough, and you need to up it. Like, so many moms are so strict now, and dads, they're so to the book, to the gram. Yeah. And it's like, every child is different. That's a generalization in that book, and you got to judge your own kid. But, like, my instincts say, and definitely from working with very small children in this, you know, in behavioral area, I feel there's something else going on here, and I feel like she needs to go to the doctor and flag this.
I mean, I wouldn't be doing my job on this podcast if I didn't suggest that it's possible that they're just a whiny little fecker.
Okay. I mean, there's no way the child
that's what this mom is afraid of.
I do love when you push back.
But you're saying whiny little feckers do exist.
Oh, yeah, some kids, you know, there can be the child who's just a bit unhappy. And sometimes that can be from something that happened at the very start. Like, they got underfed.
Right.
You know, they're a little bit stressed colicky the whole time that, oh, I'm not going to be fed again. I'm going to feel really hungry. You know, and that can just happen. Like, the poor moms and dads are trying their best. But, like, I just feel this going on every day.
Yeah. Like, 7 outbursts of tears before 9 a.m. is a lot.
Yeah, and I just feel like, well, how is the mom interacting with the kid? Because, you know, it's really important to greet your kid in the morning from a nap with a big smile. You are modeling how you want them to be. So maybe you know, I do think there sounds like there's an additional need here. But if there isn't, maybe just reflect on, well, how does my face look when I'm looking at my child?
Mm.
What emotions am I showing my child? Does my child feel like I'm happy to see them?
What's the mood in the house?
Yeah, like, because they are going to soak up your energy and they're going to model what you're doing. But I don't know. I really feel like this question is a little bit out of my league, and I think she needs to go to the doctor.
Right.
I just feel like there must be something wrong.
When you're trying to teach a child like that, how hard is it in the classroom when you've got a kid? Because, like, if we go a bit further from this particular case, right, and we look at someone else is listening to this now going, oh, all I'm getting back from the preschool is that my child can't cope with his turn ending.
Yeah. Well, that's just power for the course in an early years classroom, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people would still be like, oh, you can't say now it's time for dinner without them losing the plot and being like, it's not fair.
Yeah, well, that comes down to something that we always say, giving the child warnings, letting them know, you know, in 5 minutes it's going to be dinner time. And then, so then when you say it's dinner time, it's not a massive shock and they're not like, but I'm in the middle of a puzzle. This is so unfair. In the classroom, I mean, it's all about saying, oh, you're crying. I can see you're upset. What happened? You know, not making them ever feel shame for the crying. And the hardest part of that is when they first come into the classroom, all of these kids are coming from different homes where crying has been dealt with in different ways. So it's actually the kids who begin to regulate each other. And sometimes that can be what makes it all worse. Because some kids will be like, what are you crying about? Or cop on, you know, like whatever they've heard, they'll say to another child and make the situation worse. So it's really important that you get in there and model better language.
It really makes me think of this new Cillian Murphy movie, question.
But this is a Babadook.
Yes. She thought, yeah. But like, the movie is called Steve. It's on Netflix now. And
yeah, very
he's been out and about promoting it a lot. You probably saw him on Graham Norton talking about it. And, it, you know, it's so deftly done about this home for school. It's not a home, it's a school for troubled teens.
Yeah, it's a residential home for kids who have nowhere else to go.
But the way it's written is, clearly there's more going on in the background. And I think it's a valuable thing for anybody to watch, whatever age your kids are. But just in terms of understanding and being empathetic to what young people are going through, they're like, we've all sat in a restaurant and gone, what's problem with that kid?
Yeah, there's always
there's always something else.
I fully believe that. Like, a kid is never just crying for the sake of crying. There's always a reason. And I thought that movie was super powerful, because what it really did a good job of showing is that all of these kids felt rejected by the people who were supposed to love them.
Yeah.
And the impact on that on a kid is, oh my God, it's so hard to even explain to somebody the detrimental effect that can have on a child. I remember working with a kid who was totally mollycoddled by their mother. They were the baby, they were everything. And at this point, the baby was 8 years old.
Yeah.
Then that mother has another baby and doesn't, like, completely rejects this child. For all, like, I'm not even being harsh saying that. Like, complete rejection took place. And this kid went from being, like, a little quiet, very, like, shy, obviously way too dependent on their mom, to, like, absolute all the behaviors you can imagine. Like, acting out in every single way you can think of. Because rejection was so strong, and their hearts, they were crumbling inside, and it was just really awful to see. Yeah,
think about how you behaved when you got broken up with.
Yeah,
I mean, you're a kid, and it's your mom or your dad breaking up with you that way.
Yeah, and it happens all the time.
It's heartening then for this mom who emails in, or anybody that emails the show, that, like, you care.
Yeah.
You are, if you're listening to this show, you care about your kids.
Yeah, and you're she's
give yourself a break that way and think, like, there's so many people that aren't even willing to do what you're doing. Now, some people are listening to the show just to laugh about the fact that they don't have kids and listen to these people with all their problems. Yeah. But, like, I think that it's worth saying in this question, Tina, that people are so unbelievably hard on themselves as parents nowadays.
Big time, big time. Absolutely. And we're looking around the child and trying to figure absolutely every aspect of them out. And actually, the notion of, is our child happy?
Mm.
That's the new phenomenon. Parents actually reflecting on, well, how is my child doing? And I mean, maybe we're, you know, we're all doing that a bit too much.
Yeah, because happy, like, well, I remember going to a therapist once and saying, I just want everybody to be happy.
Yeah.
And she was like, say that out loud again.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to be happy. And she was like, that's never happened in the history of the world.
Yeah.
And never will happen. So, you know, the notion of, is my child happy?
Yeah.
You know, it needs to be couched in the idea that that's fleeting. There'll be moments where they're happy, and there's going to be a lot of the time. I told Taylor
Swift, I'm like turning into a Swiftie.
Turning into a Swiftie in a big way.
But Taylor Swift said it really well on Graham Norton this weekend. She's like, happiness is not something that is going to just happen. We have to work towards and create our own happiness. And I was like, yeah, go Taylor. I really love that.
And I would disagree with her in terms of that thing. I'm working towards my happiness. To me, like, I always go towards this thing that it's not the pursuit of happiness. It's the happiness in the pursuit. It's finding something that you enjoy.
Yeah, but, I mean,
doing things you enjoy.
That's
with your
a man who's nearly 50 saying that. Charlotte's face.
Literally just turned 45.
Sorry, Charlotte.
Oh, well, kind of fitting that after that level of rudeness from my wife. We're now going to be talking about those rude 13-year-olds. Hi, Tina and Charlotte. I'm in touch. I'm getting in touch about my 13-year-old nephew. He's so rude. I don't know what to do about it, as I'm not his parent.
Yeah.
My child is the same age, and I find that my nephew is so unkind and expects way too much from my son. How do I set up some sort of boundaries here, or is his behavior none of my business and I should just whine your neck in, as Peg, my granny would say? Please help. It's a great question.
Jesus,
it's a great question. We have had questions on the show before about this kid is rude. My kid is learning from this.
Yeah.
And that concern. But not really in terms of 13-year-olds, because that's well, a real age, isn't it?
I don't think there's much they can do. They can't police other people's kids. And even though
they're in your house by themselves.
But you know what the hard bit there is? You're deciding that they see you as the really grumpy, strict auntie instead of the fun auntie who loves you unconditionally. It's really hard because you love your child so much, but you also love your nephew, of course. You can't talk to the parents about it. That just never goes down well. But I think you can. Who can you arm? You can definitely encourage your own child not to put up with it, because they shouldn't be putting up with that stuff anyway. And if they're rude to your kid, you should definitely have them being able to say, go home if you're like that and don't talk to me like that.
That go home aspect is something I remember vividly from my own childhood. Shout out to Stephen McCann, who lived next door to me, and was like, I lived in the countryside, so next door was a cycle up the road. And I definitely would send him home when he was acting out.
That's such bad form. When
you just said.
But he had so far to go.
It was half a mile.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't like I was sending him 10 miles up the road. But like, we cycle to each other's houses in all kinds of weather. I remember cycling back from his house in a blizzard. I also remember getting hit in the face with a golf ball by him.
Oh my God.
Storming out of his house.
Oh, really?
What had happened there was I was standing behind a bush with my golf club, and he said, watch this.
And you stormed out.
And I stuck my head around the corner of the bush, and he clocked me right in the temple with this ball. Not on purpose.
Well, you little cranky fella.
Tina, I don't have a great recollection of what took place. I might not have been in my right mind.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a rude lad, although he did punch my dad in the stomach once.
Well,
but that was in a real kind of, how are you, Mr. Regan? And he gave him a little dig. But he'd obviously seen that on the telly, but he caught my dad. And my dad doubled over and was on on his knees on the ground.
That's but the kind of kid I would love.
It is worth bearing that in mind, though, and this is why I bring it up. It's like Stephen McCann's gone on to be a great guy. He's a manager. He's in retail. And, you know, we're in touch a little bit. But I always think it's so funny that, you know, when they're 13, you think, oh, this is who this person is.
Yes.
They're not a person.
No.
They're not a person. They're not even people. I mean, this is a state of flux.
Well, and also you're finding them annoying, but they're finding themselves annoying. Like, they don't know how to cope with themselves. Never mind you being able to cope with them. Teenagers are hard. But I don't know. As
they're
an
finding
auntie,
themselves annoying. What do you mean?
Well, like, I think teenagers have a terrible time.
Yeah, there's
they're
a certain amount of self-loathing, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to get at there is that this too will pass. This
yes.
too will pass. That they're not always going to be that way, even though it does seem like an eternity while it's taking place.
I mean, I do think the auntie is able to say to him, if he's rude to her in the moment, to be able to go, don't talk to me like that. That's not okay. That's a bit disrespectful. That's fine. But you can't lay down the law, really, can you?
So I always go back to this book that I read. The one book that I've read about teenagers. Well, I've read a few.
Lucky for me, you've stopped quoting it every day. For a while there, I was like, I'm going to shove that book up your arse.
If you have teenagers, I recommend the book How to Talk to Teenagers So They Will Listen and How to Listen to Teenagers So They Will Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Even the title itself tells you what you're getting into here. It has all kinds of life hacks around, my teenager won't tell me. They won't open up, which is really common.
Yes.
It's got some great life hacks in terms of how to draw them out, situations to put them in, to let them feel that this is a safe place to talk and that you're not going to hammer them when they share.
I have a new theory that teenagers are genuinely so tricky and tough to parent that it's actually on purpose, that nature has made it that way, so that when they go off to university or leave the house, you're not actually sad.
That's a very interesting theory, Professor Tina. You're delighted to get rid of them.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, feck off, you little ungrateful guy.
I think that the book would say on this one that the lightness of touch is what's needed here. The book would say if they're rude to you, you have to be ready to go, and the award for most mannerly child goes to, and then laugh.
Really?
Yeah, and then be like, wow, I can't get over how incredibly respectful you are to me, and kind of have that laugh about it. It's so funny, it goes back to Steve, and the way that Cillian Murphy portrays this counsellor is that, you know, having a levity in how you're coping with them is like, I'm literally just asking you to be a bit nicer to me.
Yeah, he was brilliant. He did such a good job. Like, I've worked in those schools and he definitely portrayed the best of them.
But being a figure who can laugh with the kid is something that we can lose as parents of teenagers who, you know, when they're being ridiculous, you have to be ready to go, come on now, let's be real here. You have to fill a water bottle before you leave. You won't survive without water.
Yeah.
And I think they're so used to people and parents and coaches saying, wagging the finger, that you can actually catch them off guard.
Okay, Jared, that's great advice. I love it.
I finally got one, guys.
I love it. I'm going to try that too.
Okay, we'll give it a go. It's obviously not the answer to everything, is it, though? Keep your teenager questions coming in, because there's so many people who are really at a loss when it comes to this age, myself included. I can think of one movie that you definitely shouldn't watch with your teenager, whoever your kid is. One Battle After Another, Leo DiCaprio.
Oh my God. Okay, great movie. Great, I know it's been overhyped, but it actually is really good. But watching, I sat beside Mikey.
Yeah.
And
the opening 15.
The opening 15 are super sexual. And that was uncomfortable for me. And I try and be woke that way. I try to be like, cool, I'm cool with this. I was not cool with that. I was like, this is too much. I don't like it. Let me out of here.
And when you say you try to be woke.
Well, I try to be like, I mean, as in I try to be that mom who's not like grossed out. I'm grossed out by most things, Jar. You know this about me.
Mm, yeah.
And I try.
And all things sexual. Yeah. You're grossed out by your own body.
I am grossed out by it. Thank you, Jar. That's nice of you to share that. Thank you. That's cool. So nice.
I'll cut that out.
It's okay. I don't mind. I am gross.
But most Irish people think themselves to be gross.
Yeah, and I do. And so I'm trying not to raise my son that way. And in that regard, I try to be cool about it all. And I'm not.
Yeah.
So that it was pretty uncomfortable.
Good movie, but yeah.
Yeah, the movie's great.
You don't
but want to
bring
I
your
just...
14-year-old kid and sit there.
Going, no, yeah,
oh,
maybe.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought that Steve, like, actually, like Mikey said it as well, that it was a better movie.
I don't want to overhype Steve either because I want people to go see it. I thought it was brilliant.
Killian's just a wizard.
The whole cast, not staff. I'm so caught up on the school element of it. Are incredible. I'd really like to read the book, actually, because the book is based on Shy, the kid who was really troubled.
Yeah, one of the characters in it. But this again ties into our final question. It's a biggie. This is a big question. And it is around when you see behaviours in your child that you're like, oh good. Oh, God, is this
who they are now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tina and Jonathan, I'm in a desperate need for advice. My 4-year-old daughter has been having some serious behavioural issues lately, and it's really starting to scare me. I should probably start with saying I'm a single mom and I currently live with my mother, who's basically the second parent to her, and as she only sees her dad maybe once a week. Also important to mention that she is the only grandchild and has been incredibly spoiled and loved by everyone in her family. I have a brother, a sister who are more doting and loving than your typical aunt and uncle, probably to make up for her dad and not really being in her life. To get to the point, in the past year or so, I've noticed some anger issues with her, especially when not getting what she wants. But in the past couple of months, it's gotten so much worse. I've noticed her being mean or too rough with pets a couple of times, and then laughs when I say something. Yells at me, hits me, says mean things like, I don't love you anymore. None of this type of behavior is ever something she sees from other people in the household. It may not be the most typical or developmentally living situation, but for the most part, we are fairly happy and functional. I just don't know what to do. It seems like all she cares about is having her toys taken away. That's the only thing that
she cares about. That's the only,
She doesn't care about timeouts. I've tried gentle parenting route. She just yells and screams at me or just doesn't hear what I'm saying to her at all. I'm just scared of how she's turning out and really hoping that her being the only grandchild and being so spoiled early in life hasn't done permanent damage to her. Also, I wish I knew where the anger was coming from and how I can help her to understand the concept of self-control, regulating herself. I know kids are not good at this or even capable of it, but the level of anger she has is such a young child is so scary. Also, I need to mention she recently changed schools, left her daycare she was at since she was one, and so far has had a bad experience at her new school. Her teacher was fired after 3 weeks for a multitude of reasons. Has also told me there have been some incidents at school where kids weren't nice to her, and at first I believed her, but then the other day we had an incident where she was blatantly mean to a little boy at the park, and it was so horrifying as she has never done anything like that before. So it is making me question if she's causing the issues with school and instead of the other way around. At her previous school, she never had any issues like that. Was always told she was well-behaved and nice to everyone. So yeah, the anger has been a small thing for a little while, but not to this level. And the meanness to people and animals is completely new. I feel like I've completely failed as a mother and failed her. I just want to teach her to regulate her anger and how I can help her be happier and healthier. It also scares me because depression and mental health problems run in the family. Thank you in advance, Tina. And I hope you guys can help.
Okay, so that's the real concern here, right? Because this, the whole time you're reading it, I was just like, she sounds like she's hyper alert to her child's emotional needs.
Mm.
And that hyper alertness obviously comes from a fear of not seeing the signs that maybe she thinks weren't seen early enough in somebody else in her family. And like, she just sounds like an incredible human, this mom. Like, she really is. Single moms, first of all, I don't know how they do it. No. I just think these women just
Sounds like she's got a great village.
Yeah, she does. And she's grateful for it. And I mean, oh my God, there's so many things to unpick there.
Well, can I throw in a couple at the start, right?
Okay.
Things that just jump out at me. And she says she's never this, she's never that, she's never done this. You only get to see a portion of your child's life.
Yeah.
You don't get to see the in-school life. And to me, that teacher, I want to know more about that teacher and what those issues were.
Well, teachers don't get fired, so no. It has to have been awful.
Yeah.
Teachers, it's impossible to fire a teacher.
So that to me is, if I was CSI Miami-ing this, be like, what was she seeing from that teacher?
Yeah.
And what was that teacher allowing to take place
in the
classroom?
Because, I mean, I can't even think of a way a teacher could get fired. It's so hard to fire a teacher. And it has to have been verbal abuse or actual physical abuse that was witnessed, because I just don't know. You know, it's just, they get redeployed. They get moved to another school. Getting fired means they're not allowed to be a teacher anymore.
Yeah. So that's, you know, if you're looking for a root cause, like she's obviously concerned that this is out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a natural thing at this age right? I mean, think about it. She's from a single mom family and she lives with her grandparents, and all this thing is normal to her until she starts school. Until she starts, like, sometimes I think, why do they do it? You know, the curriculum is always, our home, our house is the start of the curriculum in September. Our unit, our family, everyone's family's different. But sometimes the way that's rolled out, depending on the teacher, can really just raise concerns in kids that their family's a bit different. Now, that child might never, ever, ever have realized that daddies live in other people's houses sometimes, you know, or that, you know, sometimes mommy and daddy roll is around. And that can be a lot on a kid if they're not prepared fully for the fact that, you know, your situation is unusual. It's not normal. Well, you know, I don't like using that word, but it is unusual for the mom and dad not to be with the kid. And she's only learning that. And it is, I really never know why it's the first thing they learn about when they go into early years on the curriculum.
Yeah, but you're telling me that kids in circle will reveal all sorts of things.
All sorts of
and
things.
And kids will laugh at each other for all sorts of things.
Yeah, you're teaching them etiquette and listening skills and, you know, respect. But I do think there's an element of that she's, an awareness has come onto her that her life's a little bit different, and there's an unfairness to her life that she wasn't aware of before. Especially if her dad isn't an involved dad. That can be very hard when suddenly you're seeing families all the time. Okay, I'm not saying that's the reason, but it can be a little bit element of it. Also, I think she just needs very clear rules on what is okay and what's not okay. Like, the mom has observed her being unkind to animals. That needs to be snapped out.
So that's
not
a family
okay.
meeting?
Well, yeah. Well, like, yeah, maybe. I don't know if she sounds like she'd be receptive to that yet. She doesn't sound like a very mature four-year-old because she's not on top of her emotions.
What about the spoiling? Like, where do you see that in this? Because she's concerned about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we talk about gobshites and narcissists, they're created.
Yes. And it wouldn't help in that the child would feel like it doesn't matter what they do, they get what they want anyway.
Mm.
And that's not consciously. Like, the child's not a little, you know, evil genius going, ha ha ha, I'll do whatever I want and I'll still get a Barbie or whatever. Window into what I would have liked. But
I've said too much.
Yeah, but like she doesn't feel like she needs to earn anything because she's being showered, which is beautiful. It's lovely that she's in such a loving family, but yeah, it's not helping the mom at all. Now, the easiest thing for this mom to start doing is working on the emotions and feelings. It's very important that this child is allowed to be angry, because there's anger there and you need to name it and understand it. And that'll move to calmness and eventual, you know, happiness or stillness in themselves. But and we're all learning this. Please don't tell your child it's not okay to be angry. Angry is super important. It is a way of working through stuff. It is absolutely okay to feel like some things aren't right, some things aren't fair. And the reaction to that is the reaction you're having in your body. It's helping our kids cope with that feeling, cope with how they express that feeling. This little girl needs a lot of work on her emotions. She needs to feel so safe in talking.
What's the book that you always recommend?
Well, I love The Color Monster. I absolutely adore The Color Monster. Perfect for this age group. Yeah. Perfect. And it's the pop-up book I would go for. And in the pop-up book, they have activities that you can set up in your house really easily. But I definitely think this mom needs the support of the teacher. You need to go into the school, sit down and say everything you've just told us in the email to that teacher. You need support now because you don't want this becoming a fixed behavior.
Color Monster is available pretty much everywhere by Anna Lenas, L-L-E-N-E-A-S. And, you know, it's an incredible book that Tina's recommended time and time again.
Well, it speaks to children in a way that is very clear. It really does help them understand. You know, honestly, it does scream to me that this child might need a sensory diet. You know, there might be just a lot going on in terms of her inside feelings. And
where would they get that?
Well, you can just look up sensory diet on... You can Google it.
Okay.
And what you will be presented with is a list of different kind of exercises for different kinds of sensory needs. And what you can do, if you have the time, is try out the different exercises until you find the ones that work for your kids. These would be rolling, brushing, pushing, squeezing, you know, and when you find the ones that help them and you can recognize it straight away, the ones that calm them down and the ones that don't. Because some of these sensory exercises, if they're wrong, will actually stimulate instead of calming.
Right. What about a meeting with the teacher?
I just said that. You're not listening to me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But like, when you're going into that meeting, I guess this is... I'm sorry I didn't catch you saying that. But I always worry about sending somebody in. Mm-hmm. I need a meeting with the teacher.
You got to be very careful how you approach it.
And the teacher feeling attacked and feeling like, well, like, I haven't been telling you everything, but your kid is a bit of a nightmare. And them saying something that upsets you in the moment when you're in there and you not feeling heard. Like, what's the best approach in saying, I need the meeting, saying what it's about, and then going in there without the guns blazing?
Well, I just said in regards to this person, they should very much go in and just lay their cards on the table the way they did in the email. You know, you can't get fairer than a parent going in and saying, I've noticed something with my kid. Is it happening here? I don't know what to do.
To say that, though.
Well, every parent is embarrassed. Every single one of them. Nobody likes telling somebody they're not coping or there's something... Like, she worries there's something wrong with her kid.
Mm-hmm.
That, like... Your teacher is there to support you and your child. And if your child is causing hassle in the classroom, going in and approaching the teacher and saying, I need help, we're struggling at home, it's actually going to hopefully make that teacher be way more empathetic to your child when they act out.
Wow. Well, Tina, what a thorough answer. 15-minute question.
Thorough answer. You didn't listen to half, but you didn't.
Well, I was looking up the Color Monster book. Thank you very much. Color Monster will have that in the info as well. Yeah.
Thanks, guys, for listening in. Thanks for sharing our podcast. Thank you for telling other people about it. And honestly, thank you for coming up to me at shows and saying you listen to the podcast. I'm getting a bit better at not going, oh, no, Jesus. Charlotte loves it because I turn
so
into mush.
When people come up to her. This week, we'll be in Dundrum at the Dunleary Rathdown Mill Theatre for two nights. Then Monaghan in the garage. There's a couple of tickets left for that. Then we're off to Wexford Spiegel Tent.
Oh, when's that?
For the final performance of In Bits. That is on the 16th. I'll be dropping into Wicklow to do a little spot to work out some new stuff. Then on to Bally Buffet in Donegal.
Oh, really good planning there. Wexford, Wicklow, Donegal.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. God, just so happy I have a great manager who's all over this.
Oh, yeah, that's my job.
We're doing three nights in the Spirit Store in Dundalk. Those are all sold out, but we have got a couple of tickets left for Chicago at the Den Theatre on the 29th and 30th of October. Pretty much everything else is
I'm genuinely sold out. Really afraid about going to Chicago. I was awake from 3:30 last night.
Worrying about it.
Yeah, I okay. was. That's my truth.
Well, people of Chicago, come out. Take care of us. I will also be in Australia in November on the 11th.
You're going to Australia for 2 weeks.
Melbourne at the Palms Casino the 13th. Sydney at the Enmore Theatre. Then I'll fly to Auckland in New Zealand for one night at Sky City. Then on to Brisbane and Perth. Now there's only a few tickets left for each of these shows. And these really are the last performances of In Bits. Then it's on to the brand new tour,
Gas Man,
which we are workshopping at the moment, and it's been so much fun. That starts in Belfast at the Waterfront on the 3rd of January, and then on to the TF Royal in Castlebar.
Yeah, and those fuckers have not promoted it yet.
They are promoting it. The promotion starts this week. guys, thanks so much, Tina. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jar. I love you. It's also our anniversary this week.
Oh,
we said that already. Sorry,
we did. The male focused anniversary. I'll let you guys know how it goes next time, in 2 weeks' time.
Two weeks' time. Okay.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.